thought it was kind of funny. If you see how most of this stuff has been pushed back, they used most of this stage, and there was cloths being put over here to represent dirt and mud and different things. And they got together and decided that I needed that taken away. Oh, well, that too. That too. But they were almost taking odds on whether I would trip in the mud or not. I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm just going to fall off the front just to. Do that handstand. Father, we just take a moment. It's been an amazing week. And we're still trusting you to bring it to completion tonight. And Lord God, as we continue to look at this series, Love Worth Finding, Lord God, there's not one of us that are not searching for answers in some area of our life. And we can see that in every area of our life. You're desiring for us to find love and accomplishment, fulfillment, all under your umbrella of love. Father, would you just anoint this time? Would you open up our hearts to receive what you have for us, and that you would get honor and glory? In Jesus' name, amen. We've been in the series now for 3 weeks. We've really looked at loving God, God loving us. We've looked at His Holy Spirit ministering to us, giving us power, giving us direction, giving us the ability to do things that we wouldn't necessarily be able to do in our own lives. And I think if we stopped right there, we could see in this past week, we saw the love of Christ shared. We saw the love of Christ not only, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I have a relationship with you, but we see that once we really sense God's presence in our lives and we really experience God's love, we cannot help but to share that. You have to do something with it. You have to be able to express to others what God has already done in your life. And I seen that this week as you know, at one time I think 51 kids, I think, is the number of different kids that were here. 45 one night, 46 another night, 42 the first. 52, I'm being corrected, that's all right. I love it. Right. So, you know, we see God doing something amazing. And in the midst of that, we see hearts ready to receive. We see God wanting to do something. We understand that, you know, during the prayer time I said, it's hard to love others. Amen? It's hard. If they're perfectly like you, you love them. If they always agree with you, you love them. But then from there, it just goes south sometimes, and you begin to see different areas. There is so many reasons why you don't have to love somebody, but there's one good reason why you do. There's one good reason why you do. And in that scope and in that deal is how God allows us to minister to others. See, it's vertical first to Him, and then horizontal to everybody else that we come in contact with. And if you don't have a right relationship with the Lord, then all the others fall apart. You know, from the first Sunday of the series, I said that it's an umbrella. Everything under the umbrella assumes that God is first in your life, because if He's not first in your life, all of these things don't fall into place where they're supposed to. And Jesus gives us two major commandments that we can't get away from. It's this, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. Amen? That's the first command that He gives. And the second part of that says, and love others as yourself. I've talked to people, they love themselves. They think higher of themselves than they ought to. But God tells us that we should love others as much as we love ourselves. And the things that we want to do for ourselves, we should be looking to do for others. He doesn't make a suggestion here. It doesn't say, well, if you feel like it, love others. If you feel like it, do good to those that you come in contact with. If you feel like it, be nice. He tells us that's a commandment. Do unto others as you're supposed to. Do unto others and share the love of Christ. And if we don't get those things right, we see problems. And if you look at some people's lives, it's because God's not first, and you just see the unraveling. Amen? You don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to say amen. You don't have to show your agreement. But we all know people that are struggling with their relationship with God, and you see it filtered down in so many different areas. Let me give you some questions to start us thinking this morning. Are you in a thinking mood today? I saw some heads go this way, go like this, because they're coming no matter if you're ready or not. Do we love God and help others just so that we look good? Do we love God and help others just because it's the moral thing to do, even if we don't feel like it? Do we love God and help others as long as it doesn't interfere with our lives? Just thinking. Do we love God as long as it's not dangerous? Do we love God because we have a heart of compassion, or because we're trying to live the rules that we think that we need to? Do we love God just because He said so? Or do you have a relationship with Him that goes far beyond that? Just thinking. You can see by these questions. Now stop and think about it, just because I laid this out. Stop and think about it. With these questions is why some people look at you and determine why you help. You can say amen or say oh me. And did you catch what I said? They look at you and are evaluating you and determining why you are helping in the way that you're helping. And yet they most don't feel an obligation to look at their own lives. They'll ask these questions of people serving God, but they won't ask these questions in their own life. They won't ask, what does God want me to do? Sometimes they're more critical of others, of what they're doing. Matthew 23 gives us a stern warning about hypocrisy, about looking at other people's. And you wouldn't think that this would be a verse for helping others, but I want to challenge you this morning, because I believe it is. Because why are you doing what you're doing? Why aren't you doing what maybe you're supposed to be doing? Or are you one of those that are just feel the need that you're going to critique somebody else's ministry? So look at this here, and you see very clear that the Lord is giving us a guidelines of warning here. Matthew 23, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples. Did you catch that? He's saying it to the crowd that had came to just see what Jesus had to say, and to His disciples. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do. Did you get that? So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, And then the next sentence, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Now, for the law of God, the authority of God, the authority of God's word, practice what you preach and not be a hypocrite. Be who you say you are and not have a mask. And as a believer, become a servant of God and a servant to others. My thought here is, what's the difference between a true servant of God and a hypocrite doing the same thing? Did you get that? What's the difference between a true servant of God and a hypocrite doing the same thing? The bottom line has to be their heart, has to be their motive, why they're doing what they're doing and who they're doing it for. Brendan Manning says this, there is a beautiful transparency to honest disciples who never wear a false mask and do not pretend to be anything but who they are. Francis of Assisi says, most high, gracious God, enlighten the darkness of our minds. Give us a right faith, a firm hope, and a perfect charity so that we may always and in all things act according to your holy will. And he prays it as a prayer. Here's the thing I want to share with you. God loves you. And Becky and I met with a dear friend yesterday, longtime Christian. Do you realize God loves you? You cannot do more that God would love you more. And you can't do less that he would love you any less. God loves you. That is a fact. That is his nature. It is who he is. And if you're going to experience what God wants you to experience, you have to experience God and you have to experience his love. And you have to understand that no, regardless of who you are, he loves you. He cares about you. It does come with guidance. It does come with a relationship, but God can't love you any less. God can't love you anymore because you're doing things. The scripture tells us he died for us while we were still sinners. That's you and I. There's nothing we can do to make him love us more. God loves because it's his nature. And when we understand this, we will have a better relationship with God. Once we understand that we can't earn his love, and it's based upon what he does, and not because of our performance, it's unconditional in the act of generosity and God motivating and wanting to love us and to share in our goodness. If we feel that we earn God's love, here's where I'm going with it. If we feel that we need to earn God's love, we will look at others like they need to earn our love. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? And every one of us know, because every time that we love with a condition, we're missing what God wants. Some of the things that were said in Sunday school, as a society, that is where we're at. You do for me, I do for you. We see it in politics. We see it in all of the things that are going on in the world. No ticky, no washy. You don't help me, I'm not going to help you. And we see it all go back and forth. If we understand that we can't earn God's love, and that he loves us, and that it's unconditional in caring about us, then we're going to love others without limitations. We're going to love without conditions and doing something to make someone happy without any thought of what they can do for us. Say amen to that? Are you with me? It doesn't change what Christ has done. It's not saying that everyone's saved just because God loves you. There has to be a commitment there. But what I am saying is that we can't earn that. And you're not sitting in the chairs this morning because you were good people and earned that. We all come to Christ the same way. We all need Jesus Christ. And when you look at this and you understand this, you see that God's love has to be shared with others because of what he's done. He loved us while we are yet sinners. We are to love others while they're yet sinning. We don't wait for them to do the right thing. We don't wait and reach out into a community because we're waiting for all the good people to come to Rosedale next weekend. We reach out to the community because they need Jesus. We reach out to them because Christ loved us. We need to love others. It should be why we were praying this morning that God gets a hold of people's hearts and desires to minister. It's the reason that we want to make connection with people. It's the reason that we want to invest in people. It means that we're obligated. We're obligated, according to God's word, to share God's word. We're obligated to show God's kindness. We're obligated to not judge, but to lead them into the opportunity to come to Christ. When we love like Christ, it makes it possible for people to see and feel the genuine love of Christ. Amen? There's some powerful things that if you were really to just say a few things, what would it look like if we're loving Christ and showing that same love to others? I think there's more, and we're really only going to spend a minute on a couple of them this morning, because the first one, if you're writing it down, if you're really going to love like Christ, you need to forgive like Christ. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time, because next week I'm going to deal with that. Because we live in a day and age where people, they have no forgiveness. Road rage. I mean, you know, just everything is either from 0 to 60. Not wanting to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice, and it's not a feeling, and it takes time, and it takes prayer. Jesus has forgiven us, but we forget sometimes what Christ has forgiven of us. Scripture says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Second one is this, sacrifice like Jesus. Putting our own needs aside. And I think this is where the church universal is really guilty. Because in the midst of loving Christ, we're losing time for God because of things in society. Making a living, raising a family, moving up in a job, whatever that is, that it takes precedent over spending time with the Lord, being in the house of the Lord and fellowshipping with people of like-minded faith. It's hard not to get involved in a ministry, and it's hard not to share where God's taking you from because you're so busy. And sometimes God's saying, you know what? We're not, you know, I'm not passing the plate this morning. Nobody's trying to get more of your money. But we need to sacrifice for Jesus. We need to look at this as an opportunity and take those opportunities and minister to where God has us and not forget what God has brought us out of. We're one step from the grave like everyone else. We live by the grace of God like everyone else. The sacrifice can be as simple as letting somebody go ahead of you in the line. Picking up something that something fell and you see somebody. It's amazing. I'm in a store and I'll see somebody, something falls down and nobody's willing to help. They don't have time. That's not my job. Simple thing is opening a door for somebody because you see they're struggling and nobody has time to just take a moment of their time to show someone else kindness. And I've said this before, sacrifices, sometimes God gives you a raise and it's not yours. Nobody wants to hear that, but it's so true. Sometimes God will give you a raise and your raise is to help somebody else. To be involved in something that you could make a difference. Sometimes your sacrifice is just a positive attitude and an obedient heart. You know when you're going to feel the best? And perfectly, it's happened to you. It's happened to me several times. And I think of God's goodness is when God will say something like this. Go say hi to that person. Lord, I don't know that person. Go say hi to that person. Go buy that person a coffee. I won't say the person's name, but one time I was behind going through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and I pulled up and got my order. Said, the person in front of you paid the bill. That's cool. Made my day. And the reason I don't say the person's name, because I saw who it was, which made it all the special. Didn't know it was me. Did that because they wanted to be a blessing. So I tried it. That's pretty cool. It feels good to help somebody like that. And it even feels better when they don't know you did it. Just the little sacrifices and you know, not doing it for any other reason but to be kind and show someone Christ's love. Because you don't, you know what? I could have paid for my meal that day, but it still was a blessing to get it. And still that somebody would have thought to do that made even better than the money that was involved in that. But you don't know what that person's going through by you saying something to them, especially if God leads you to. It might not be earth-shattering. It might just be you just show that person Christ's love. They might be so deep that just showing that somebody cared could save their life because you don't know where they're at in their mind. Sacrificing. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Sacrifice. Showing the love of God. Next one is praying like Jesus. My thought to you and challenge to you this morning is this. I know you're busy. Everybody's busy. This week is for a lot of people has been 10, 12 hours for like 7 to 10 days. So I know busy. I understand that. But I challenge you that maybe for this next week, get up just a few minutes early every day and start your day in prayer. For some of you that are doing it, great. But I'm challenging some of you because your day is so busy that God gets what's left. And I'm asking you this week to begin your day with prayer, praying for people. How about praying for your enemy? Ouch. How about taking time to pray for that annoying person you'd rather not spend time with? Whether it be at work, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a situation that you're going through, that you're going to determine this week that you are going to specifically pray for that person. And I want you to know something. As you're praying for that person, God will lift you up. Do you understand me? God will lift you up because He will honor what you're doing. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as a true child of God, our child of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. I don't know some of your stories, but I'm guessing some people were praying for you. That maybe you weren't the best person in the world before you came to Christ either. I know people were praying for me. Some people are still surprised that I'm serving God. Determine that you're going to this week pray for people. Be determined that God gets the first of your day, if at all possible. Now, I know some may not be able to do that, but what the point is, make sure that in your busyness of your day that God gets sometimes. Now, I want a couple minutes here, and we'll be done. Dumblaws.com. I recommend you go there. Laws on the books, and we'll just do a couple of them. In Canada, you cannot pay for a 50-cent item with all pennies. It's on the books that it's illegal. That you cannot pay for a 50-cent item with all pennies. Augusta, Maine, you cannot stroll down the street playing a violin. And of course, I lived in Texas and all the blue laws of Texas. A couple others. It's illegal to snore with the window open. In Massachusetts. It's illegal because in Massachusetts, at a wake, mourners may not eat more than 3 sandwiches. On the books in Massachusetts, all men must carry a rifle to church. This is the one that really gets me, because now we're talking and looking at legalism. No gorillas are allowed to sit in the back seat of a car. Where? Why would they have to get together and put a law together for that? No gorillas allowed in the back seat. Here's where the legalism comes in. Thinking that salvation you can earn. That you can become spiritual just by following man's laws. See, actively praying is going to keep you from judging. Amen? Praying for your enemy is going to keep you humble. It's going to keep you from thinking that you're better than someone else. Number 4 is sharing Jesus. Did you know Christianity, and I know it's 1202. Did you know that Christianity isn't a secret religion? Did you know that? That we should be sharing our faith. We should be showing people what God can do. In October, I want to have a Baptist church Sunday. And I know that, you know, the national part is in September, but we can't do it in September because of some other things going on. But in October, I'd like to do a Baptist church Sunday. And here's what I'd like people to do, and it's going to, and I'm drilling you now because I've tried to bring it up to your attention and challenge you. Here's the thing. Would you be willing to invite until you got someone to come with you that Sunday? Go ahead and say amen. I'm looking around. Say amen, because that Sunday we should be packed. In the sense of this, invite someone until they come, because you don't know. Some are waiting to be invited. Find them. Some have been burned in church and they might come if you ask them, and not stop just, well, I asked 2 people, but they didn't come. So that God could have a chance to minister to somebody. God would have a chance that they could experience God. The Lord said, go into the entire world and preach the gospel to all creation. Be humble like Jesus. That's where we're going to close. Be humble like Jesus. Living with a humble attitude that you're not any better than anybody else. We're thankful that Christ has reached out into us and that we respond. But here's the thing. You can never give out more than you have in you. Amen? You cannot give out what you don't have. So that's my suggestion with these things going on in our lives, that we'd be humble, that we'd be praying, that we would be sacrificing, and that we would be living our lives for Christ and committed to each other. What a wonderful experience that would be. Can you say amen to that? I mean, what and what I mean by that is if we developed an attitude of sharing our faith, telling our story, telling what God has done. I'm not saying beat them up with the Bible. I'm telling you to share your story. We would see people come to Christ. We would see lives changed. And I had all kinds of scriptures, and we'll just close it with the challenge. Everybody wants to talk Bible doctrine. What you can do, can't do, should do, won't do. But if we show Christ's love, we'd see more people respond. That'd be a good place to say amen, unless you want me to start over. Okay, good to see everybody this morning. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning. And as we do, we continue to reach out to this community tonight. Again, we bring them up that, Lord God, you would minister in such a special way to the parents and to the kids. Lord God, we're not asking that they all would attend here, and we're just asking, Lord God, that they would get in a Bible-believing church, that they would have an experience with you, and if that included Rosedale, that would be great. But more important, we're looking for them to have a relationship with you. We're looking to plant a seed that, Lord God, over the next months and years, that you would water and nurture and allow them to have a relationship with you. Father, I know it's hard as we struggle to get along sometimes, and like Sunday school, there's such a great divide, us against them, the Hatfields and McCoys kind of thing on every issue. But Lord God, if we would just love them, we don't have to change our beliefs, we don't have to be pulled in into areas that we're not supposed to, but if we would just love them, we would give you an opportunity to work in their lives. Help us to do that, Lord God. Help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. And each one of us has purpose. Each one of us has been placed in an area to make an impact. And whether you're retired or working 80 hours a week, we know, Lord, that you bring opportunity for us to talk to people and just share our story, share our experiences with you, and leaving you to the saving part. We are responsible for the sharing part. In Jesus' name, amen.